What'd you say, Brenda? Amen, amen. It's going to take me a while to get set up here. So, Jim, you got a poem or something you can share? Come on. Something. And I'm going to set up. I usually print my messages out, but I didn't print it, so I got to set my computer up.
Prayer and a message. Father, we need a change in the world. And we know the only thing that can bring that change is the church. Through you, through us, through the sons and daughters that you're raising up in this hour. We know we're not going to change the world by cursing it, by complaining about it. Yes. We know, Father, according to your word, that our weapons, and we do have weapons. The Lord says you do have weapons, but they're not carnal, my children. They're mighty through me to the pulling down of fortresses. There are fortresses. You all know them. You all see them. You focused on them too much. You need to focus on the weapons that you have that will bring those fortresses down. And they're not carnal weapons, but they're mighty through me to the pulling down of all those strongholds. Yes. Let this be a year, says the Lord, of giving. Not so much of your money, but giving of prayer. Giving of little helps here and there to everyone here and there. Didn't I say that the apostles, people said to me, well, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you in prison? He said, well, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. Let this be a year, 2021, says the Lord, of giving. Giving of some time. Giving. Maybe money here and there, whatever the need may be, but meeting the needs. Look for needs in 21. Look for needs that you can meet. Make that the goal in 21. Even right now, there are people that I've laid on your heart that you might want to call, give them a word of encouragement. But make this a year of giving, says the Lord. For I so love the world, the Lord said, that I gave my only begotten Son. I'm a giver. Sons and daughters of God are givers. They're givers. Make this a year of giving, says the Lord. Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Before you start. Yeah, how's that grandson coming? Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
America is the prodigal son, and America needs to get back to God. That is the only answer that we have. Not the government, no. God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is worthy. He is worthy. I got this for you all. Okay, so let's, if you have anything to say, you can interrupt me at any time. How's that? Okay, Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, only your words that come forth today and that come forth every day of our lives. Let's tune our ears to him. Let's tune our eyes. Let's only look at, we can look over here, but there's nothing for us over here, you know. The only thing for us is him. And so keep our eyes on Jesus. Now is the time.
Amen. Whatever.
Whatever, right? Time for what? Lunch? Is it time for lunch already? Lord impressed upon me four things to concentrate for me in the new year. So I'm going to share them with you. Am I coming across okay out there? Okay, good. Just want to make sure you're listening. Now is the time to rest in the Lord. We need rest, folks. We need rest. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. In these times, we must rest in the Lord, or you're going to look just like the world out there going crazy. We must rest in the Lord. He's got this. It's amazing how many times you hear on radio, TV, whatever, I got this, you know, or we got this, or whatever. God's got this. God has it. He really does. You may. See, that's why I got this, so that y'all can speak up.
You said you wanted to make sure everybody was listening.
Yes.
Everybody should be hearing. Yep. Listening is here. Hearing is here.
Say it again.
Listening is here. Hearing is here. So
we can listen and listen and listen, but we need to hear
and hear. Are we hearing? You know, we listen with these and we hear inside here. That's good. That's good. Okay. Anybody else have anything? All right. We may be heading into some trying times. Really? You think? Yes, we are. But you know what? What a blessing it is to have Jesus living in here. I mean, seriously, no fret, no worry. You can't change what's going on out there. All you can change is you and the realm that that God's given you. He's given you a realm. And those are all the folks that are surrounding you and all the folks that are around you. That's what you have, you know, that's what you've been given, let's say, okay? The rest of the Lord is found by trusting Him. That's where the rest is. Rest and realize who you are in Christ. We should embrace and enjoy our new existence. Bible says you're a new creation, right? New creature? Hey. First of all, if you don't know what that means, find out. Go ask God, what does that mean? He'll tell you. He's right here. We should embrace this new existence. No matter what goes on out there, we should embrace that new existence. And that new existence, you don't have to deal with all that stuff. That's a choice, you know. If there are things that get you all worked up, you don't have to deal with those. There's nothing you can do about it except what's here and what's now in your realm. Okay, 2 Timothy 4:18. Yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? He will bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. I mean, I think we're living in a time, now is the time, is the name of the message. I think we're living in a time where we have to start not only hearing and listening, but to actually become. And become that, what the Bible and what the Word of God. You know, you hear words from the Lord that it's not just the Bible. God's still speaking today, folks, and He's speaking to you. Edith said at Sunday school, she said, I always told y'all that God never speaks to me. Well, guess what? God spoke to Edith this week. Isn't that wonderful? It's awesome. John 6:33, we've all heard this a million times. I'm going to put it in a different way with the Passion Bible. So above all, if the Lord's saying above all, He means above all. That means you can't get any higher as far as importance. Above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. We've heard it as seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? Just a different way to look at it. I like that. The realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly, all the rest of it. If your focus is on him and not the world, not all that's going on, but your focus remains on him, guess what? All these less important things, he's going to just add them to you. And I like the word, it says abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with every challenge, each challenge that comes your way, one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Someone need to hear that. Tomorrow will take care of itself. That's good news. We were talking about the gospel. That's the good news. It's a lot more than that, but that is good news. Okay, so the first one was now is the time to rest in the Lord. The second one is now is the time for practicing the presence of God. Maybe you're saying, what's that mean? Well, the first thing that came to mind was in his presence is fullness of joy. You see much joy out there? We need to have joy. And in his presence, you're going to get it. I think Jim passed a book around, Brother Lawrence. What was it, Practicing the Presence? Okay, I just pulled a quote out of that. Brother Lawrence says, it is in the schooling of the soul. I thought that was interesting. The schooling of the soul to find its joy in his divine companionship. So where's our joy? Our joy is in the divine companionship, the oneness, the fellowship, the oneness. We were talking also in Sunday school, and Lisa was bringing up the union, our union with the Lord. Spend time with him. I'm blessed because I'm able to spend a lot of time with him now. I know that you all that work, you have work to do, and I've been there, done that, and I didn't spend as much time as I would like to have, but had responsibilities, you all do. But take whatever time you can and spend with him. You know, from day to day, just try to block out a little bit. Like you turn off a TV or a radio. Turn off the world. Turn off the noise that tends to get into our brain. And sometimes it takes a while to get that turned off. But stay there long enough to turn it off, because that's small still voice will come forth. It really will. And time to practice the presence of the Lord. What does time mean sometimes? Time means love. Whatever you put your time to is what you love. So try to put your time into the Lord because he loves you so much. And, you know, whether it's your kids, whatever, you're going to spend time with those you love. So God wants to spend time with you. Okay, now the third one is now is the time to take the limitations and restrictions off. This may be a scary one for some of you. Because if you take the restrictions and limitations off, you're going to go into a place that maybe you've never been before. And you know what? If it's in the Lord, it's good. It's going to be good. So we must break through the barrier of self. We got to break through that self. That seems to hold us back a lot of the times. We still have dominion and authority. Do you remember that? When the Father said, "Let us make man in our own image." And it said, "Give them authority." I thought he was talking about Adam. Didn't he create Adam? But he says, "Give them authority." Who's them? Y'all? Y'all are them. Beloved, the years of waiting for your harvest is over. It's over. You know, there's a lot of work that a farmer goes through before the harvest. Guys, unless I'm not hearing from the Lord, the harvest is coming. It's here. The Bible says the fields are white. They're ready. But we have to confess that. We have to believe that. You know, there was a time, a season, we talked about the number 40. 40 is a time of testing. But at the end of 40, guess what? The testing's over. The harvest is now. Now is the harvest. You know, taking the restrictions off, it's easy to say, well, and there's a lot of religions out there, a lot of denominations say, oh, God doesn't do that stuff anymore. You know, there's religions out there, Christian religions, say that all the miracles and everything passed away with the last apostle. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard that, but it's true. There's some religions that believe that. It's now time to take the limitations and restrictions off of our mind and start realizing and knowing in our knower that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He didn't say, well, we'll give this to the early church, but you know, these people in the 21st century, they're not going to get it. No, come on, that just sounds ridiculous. So we need to say God can do anything, and I can do anything that he asked me to do because he gives me the strength to do it. It's not my strength, it's his strength. The supernatural is reality and it's eternal. This thing here passes away, right? Time is temporal. We're going to talk about time here in a second. Time is temporal. The things of God are eternal. Guess what? We're things of God. We are eternal beings. And we can overcome time and space right here in this. This sounds crazy. Maybe if you don't like it, just throw it in the garbage. But we in this life right now can overcome time and space. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. The natural is not real. And that's so hard for people to figure out. Okay, fourth one is now is the time for change. It's inevitable that change will happen in our lives. Guys, what if, look back, if change hadn't happened in your life, you wouldn't be where you are right now. You can either try to hold it back or you can embrace it. The question is, are you fearful of change or do you embrace change? Let's embrace change. By changing nothing, nothing changes. There is a difference between being content where God has you but wanting more. You got that? I mean, that's important. We want to be content where we are. Paul says, I'm content in whatever state I'm in. Even Ohio, no. But change, We want to be moldable and pliable to the Lord so he can change us from glory to glory. That's what he wants to do. He wants to change us. And now is the time to embrace your true identity in Christ. It's time to repent. Well, the true definition of repent isn't, oh, I messed up last night. Yeah, you can repent of that too, but it's already been forgiven. It's already under the blood. It's already done. Repent means changing your thinking. We got to change our thinking to embrace whatever God has for us. And if it's supernatural, if it's healings, I mean, can you imagine if there was healings taking place here, miraculous healings? You would have people, we'd have to open the windows and they'd be hanging out the windows. They'd be hanging out. We have to believe that it's available to us today, now. Now, can you imagine the supernatural appearing here where the Spirit just has his way? And he does to a degree, but I personally believe he wants to have more of his way here. So that doesn't mean anything, but we as a body have to believe. That's all. We have to believe that it's available to us. And you know, we just want to have God show up, and he does, but show up in a mighty, mighty way every time we come together. The more you let this mind of Christ be in you, the more of a glorious change you will see in your life. So we need to get rid of the stinking thinking and start taking the glorious thinking on. We take the glorious thinking, guess what? Your life will change. And now is the time for change. Change is coming. Don't you sense it? I mean, don't you think there's... This isn't all there is, folks. I'm telling you, is if your life is perfect, praise God. That's wonderful. But there's so much more. There's so much more. Think of one thing right now that you would like, that you feel led by the Lord to change in your life. One thing, whatever it is. Perhaps it's worrying too much. There's some worriers out there, isn't there? Any worriers out there? Of course, Siri doesn't worry about those kids, do you? So maybe it's one thing, worrying. Maybe you're just a worrier. We used to call them worry warts. I don't know where they got that. It sounds kind of gross, really. But yeah, worrying. Maybe it's worrying. Maybe it's... you know, being too concerned over things that you have no control over. I mean, look at your life in Christ and look at the times that you worried, look at the times that you fretted over things. And now in 2021, January, whatever day it is, it's the 10th. I don't have my glasses on. You know, you look back a couple years ago, and if you could journal, I strongly recommend everybody journaling. If you could journal and you go back 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever, things that concerned you then, maybe they still concern you, but probably not. Probably not. I love this scripture, and I think it's so important in the day we live in. It's Romans 13:11. Says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's high time, folks. It is high time. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Whew, man, you could go on all day on that scripture. It's high time to awake out of sleep. And, you know, it's not necessarily your fault that you've been asleep, because only God can awaken you. You know, if you could wake yourself, you'd have probably done it. I know I'd have done it before I was 30 years old. But he woke me up at 30 years old. Okay, so the Passion says it this way: to live like this in love is the more urgent, for time is running out, and you know it is a strategic hour in human history. Would you agree with that? Maybe it was appropriate 1,000 years ago, but I know it's appropriate now. It is time for us to wake up, for our full salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Salvation isn't just getting a free pass to heaven, although it is, but it's not. It's so much more. And that's where the church needs to wake up. There's so much more than just, okay, I said this little prayer, and now here's my golden ticket to heaven. That's a good thing, but don't leave the rest of it. There's so much more than just that. The word salvation does, we're definitely going to say it does secure your place, but it's so much more. It means deliverance, preservation, and safety. The time is now. The church needs deliverance. You know, they need to be delivered from their doctrines and their do's and don'ts and whatever, and realize what Christ truly did. And he did. He did forgive. Even John, before Jesus even got baptized, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." Well, guess what? They've been taken away. You know, it's not something where, if I live a certain life, then I'll definitely be able to believe that scripture. No. It's not about performance. It's about relationship, oneness, unity. So let's, I say now is the time for deliverance. It's the time to be delivered from dis-ease. It's a time to be delivered from wrong, negative thinking. It's a time to be delivered from worry. And it's a time, many more, but there's addictions, whatever. There's a lot more, but it's time. It's time to enjoy and embrace our freedom that only Christ can give us. Okay, let's talk about time for just a second. You're probably sitting there saying, okay, it's time to quit. No, it's not time to quit. Not yet. Just bear with me, please. Okay, I got a very important question for you. So you can shout out the answer if you want. When is the best time for Julie to go shopping? Whenever the stores are open. Okay. All right. Time. It's found 619 times in the Bible. That's a lot. The Greek word is kairos. You've all heard that word, kairos. You know, you say, oh man, that was a kairos moment. You know, that was a God moment. God was in that. God's in all of it. Not just that, but all of it. Something that happened in God's timing. You know, we sing that song, He's an on-time God. It's in God's timing, not ours. His time is the right time, and our time is not always the right time. Guess what? There'll be a time, I believe, when it will be. We live in two realms, the natural and the heavenly, right? Because Jesus said that we're seated with him in heavenly places. That That's not in the sweet by and by after you breathe your last breath. That's right now. So we can live in the natural, but the heavenly is so much better. And some of the things we're talking about is remaining in that heavenly realm. Okay, this is a little bit heavy, so you can just throw it in the garbage if you don't like it or whatever. Time and space has three dimensions, height, weight, and depth, right? I'll try to get through this part, but it's important. You know, when I went to buy a shed for my yard, I had to look at the dimensions. I had to look at the height, the width, and the depth to see if it was big enough to put the things in there that I needed to put in. So time is separated from space in a sense that time is not a fourth dimension of space. Time is a numerical order of change that exists in a 3D space. Have I lost you yet? Okay, I'm almost done with this part. Our model on space and time is founded on measurement and corresponds best to a physical reality. All right? So let's get crazy for just a second. You ever watch Bob Ross? He says, let's get real crazy and put a little tree here, you know? I love that guy, man. I tell you, it's sad that he had to pass so soon. Anyway, hear this out. We said three dimensions, right? 10 dimensions are used to describe superstring theory. Now, if anybody can describe that, come on up. I would love to hear it. That's way, way beyond my pay grade. Our lives seem to be centered on time, right? I mean, look at everything that you know, we measure our lives with time, right? We got here at a certain time for church or Sunday school or whatever. I mean, even when you buy a loaf of bread, you better eat it before the expired time or you'll have mold on it. Has anybody noticed that the bread molds more than it did back in the day? If it didn't, it's just because there's only two of us and we don't eat as much bread. I don't know which it is, but it just seems that way. But our appointments, our eating our meals, when we go to bed, when we get up, when we go to work, when we pay our taxes, birthdays, anniversaries, education, and even death. The average global, we don't believe this for a second, but the average global life expectancy from birth is 72 years. Some of you are saying, ooh, I whipped that. 70 for men and 75 for women. I always wondered, I don't know, I'm not going to say what I think, why women live longer than men, but you have your own opinion. So, now is the time to begin living outside of time and space. Sure, I know we're still in the world, but we're not of the world. In this world, we have expiration dates. In the heavenlies, there is no expiration dates. There is no time. In the spiritual realm, nothing expires. Time is the outer divisions of time into minutes, hours, days, and weeks, right? It's all man-made. From spiritual viewpoint, there is no such thing as time, and in the way that man has come to regard it. With God, 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is 1,000 years. Now, I'm going to tell you a story here that you may not believe it. I don't know the guy, so I can't tell you whether I believe it or not, but I believe it could happen. How's that? He was taken up in the spirit, just like Paul went to the third heaven. He was taken up to a heaven or into heavenly realms. And he said it was just beautiful. It was just just unbelievable. It's just the colors and everything was just so beautiful. And he was sitting on his couch. And he was taken up into this heavenly realm during his prayer time. And he was saying that he was there for what seemed to be like months. I mean, he was there God was downloading stuff. And I mean, he said, when I was there, it seemed like it was months. In this awesome place, he was receiving revelation from the Lord and direction. And he said it was glorious. It was wonderful. When he came back, he went to his wife to apologize for being gone so long. And she said, well, you've only been praying for about 5 or 10 minutes. That's living outside of time and space. This is available to every one of you. And you may not be ready for it now. That's okay. And you may never be ready for it. Maybe it scares you, but just the thought, I mean, if it was good for Paul, isn't it good for us? I mean, really? So anyway, it's an exciting time to be alive. It really is. And the limitation of man's consciousness of space is a restricting, curbing influence. And time is the measure that we give to passing events, and we give power to time. I'm not saying go to work anytime you feel like it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that be late for every appointment you have. It's where your mind is. Where's your mind? Is it in heaven? Boy, it's hot up here. Okay. It's where your mind is. Is it in heavenly places or is it in the earthly realm? The heavenly realm has been opened up to us, and there is no time there. I mean, just for a second, we're going to take just a second to talk about Philip and the Ethiopian. Philip and the Ethiopian. We all know the story, right? In Acts 8:26, it says, the Lord's angel said to Philip. Okay? Now go south from Jerusalem to the deserted road at Gaza. He left immediately on his assignment. Then the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go walk alongside the chariot. Now think about this for a second. I didn't see this before. Think about this. It says the Lord's angel said to Philip, right? Then it says the Holy Spirit said to Philip. Did you get that? In other words, God can speak to us any way he wants to speak to us. And you can say, well, Philip, he was an apostle or he was a disciple, whatever. And I don't know about God using angels to speak to us now. Well, that's your decision, but let me tell you, I'm going to believe the word of God. And if an angel speaks to me, I'm going to listen. And the Holy Spirit speaks to Philip. So I just thought it was interesting. Why did God use an angel and then the Holy Spirit to speak to him? Anybody have any thoughts on that? Yeah.
Philip, when we were reading in Sunday school, I started to mention that about how he was translated. Mm-hmm. I believe the angel gave him a direction, a message, but the Holy Spirit enabled him.
That's good.
The Holy Spirit, he caught up, he appeared where he was, gave him the message, mm-hmm. prayed over him, did what God had him, answered his questions, brought him to the Lord, mm-hmm. and then he was gone.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. What would you do if an angel spoke to you? First of all, how would you know it's an angel? Interesting stuff. Any thoughts on that? Okay. God loves us so much that he'll use whatever means possible to get your attention. And to get you to listen. If you have ears to hear, don't be surprised if he doesn't start doing different things that maybe he hasn't done for the last 30 years. Perhaps some of you have already had it happen. Has anybody had an angel speak to them? You don't have to raise your hand, but I would love to. Would you mind?
I don't know if it was an angel or just the voice of the Lord.
Well, it was probably an angel, or you wouldn't have raised your hand. That's, we just want to go ahead and say that's what it was.
One day I was at work. This is long ago. And I heard somebody in my ear say, "You're going to be in an accident on your way home." And I said, "Oh." And I heard it, and I knew it, and it was a voice, and I heard it. And I called my mom, and I said, "Hey." I said, "Somebody just told me in my ear I'm going to have a car accident on my way home. I said, I want you to know if something happens to me, I'm fine. I know where I'm going. I'm good." But the whole way home, I was looking for an accident, right? I'm like, where's the accident going to come from? I even went as far as going another way, okay? So I went a different way home than I normally do. Well, I'm going the different way home, and I look in my rearview mirror, and I see this kid, like, speeding up, and I thought, he's going to hit me. This is where it's coming. And thank God, you know, thank God that the angel or whatever, the voice of the Lord spoke to me on that day, because I braced myself for it. And I put on my brake, and the kid, like, I forget, there was like a car here or something. Anyway, he had to swerve, and when he swerved, he hit me, okay? And I'm going straight for a pole. Well, thank God I had braced myself. I had my foot on the brake, and I mean, I came within an inch of the pole. If I had not been bracing myself, I wouldn't have been there. So I just thank the Lord. I thanked him, but I still tried to avoid what I knew was coming. You know, that's our human nature. Our human nature is let's avoid what we know is coming. But in reality, we just need to go with it, be prepared for it, and take, you know, listen to the voice of the Lord.
Angels are messengers, and that angel sent a warning to you. And if you listen, they'll send warnings. I mean, there may be times that you received that warning.
So the whole thing with Joey is what we've been talking about. Joey's got faith, okay, and she believed that was the Lord or an angel. So she didn't shrug it off like some of us in the natural would have. Yeah. You know, it's my imagination, it's me being worried or whatever. So what she's talking about is what we talked about in Sunday school. The gospel means love. Okay, we have to have love that brings upon faith and joy in our lives. And gets us past a lot of these other issues, like you were talking about worrying and all this kind of thing. But that just shows not on such as a higher realm like you're talking about with time and space, but Joey had faith and she believed that was God talking to her. And she got confirmation because the accident happened. Right.
Yeah. Did you have something? Yeah. This is a good one, she said. We're going to judge it after you're done. See if it's
many years ago. New Christian, many, many years ago. At a place I shouldn't have been, doing a lot of drinking, a lot of driving and drinking. I leave this bar going down the wrong way of a 2-lane highway. Couldn't understand why the lights were all blinking at me. Why everybody was pulling off to the side of the road. But anyway, I got pulled over by a policeman. He says, "Where are you coming from?" I said, "Oh, just that bar up the street." Honest, you know, just the bar up the street. Been drinking, yeah. Had the window down, he could have smelled it.
Only had one,
two or three pitchers. And he says, "Well, I'm telling you what," he says, "do you live around here?" I says, "No, not really." I said, "I didn't realize when I left the bar that I was going down the wrong way." He says, "Well, I'll tell you what," he says, "I'm going to follow you up the roadway till you get on the interstate, and then I'll part with you, make sure you get up that way." Now, I still had a long way home. So his lights are behind me all the way home up to the interstate. And I turn around, and he totally disappeared. Nowhere around. There wasn't anywhere to pull off. Nowhere around. I made it home safely. Years later, the talk of angels came up. And he says, well, you've seen angels. The Lord was telling me that in my spirit. I said, well, when did I see an angel? He says, the day I sent the policeman to you to help you on the interstate. That was my angel directing your way. And he's had his hand on me ever since. I don't drink as much now. I'm just teasing. But that was a real eye opener, because I actually had this encounter with someone, you know, doesn't have wings, you know, it took on a human form. And we know in the scriptures that they're sent as ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. I've seen angels before at Audrey and Brother Eddie's house. It wasn't a verbal thing. I've seen them walking from room to room up at their house, and so they're out there. They're still working on your behalf.
Amen. Thank God, right? Yeah, I was conducting a meeting one time. I was conducting a meeting, and one of the people there at the meeting started laughing. And I'm thinking, I'm having a serious topic on having a meeting, and she's over there just cracking up. So I pulled her aside and I said, Why were you laughing during my meeting? I mean, that was kind of disrespectful or something. She said, I was laughing because you had two big angels, one on one side of you, one on the other side of you, just standing there, and the Lord opened my eyes and I saw them. I didn't see them, but she saw them, you know. And another time I was spinning around in a car, and the car ended up, after spinning, I don't know how many times, the guy that was with me, he never could tell me how many times we spun around, but the car ended up going in the exact place that it should have been as it's going down the road. And we got out of the car. I don't know why we got out, but I know now why. We got out of the car and we walked over. It was wet and there was tire tracks, and it was about 6 to 7, 8 inches from a 30-foot drop into a creek bed. And I, down the road, you know, years later, I mean, that was the last time I was doing the drinking thing. And at that point, it was a few years later, the Lord said, I had three angels pushing that car back up. I didn't see them, but that's what he said. So, again, just know that God loves you and that God has it all under control, and that we don't have to. I'm going to end here. I had a lot more, but I do want to finish the story on Brenda said that Philip was translated. I do want to finish that, and then I'll kind of close. It's in verse 35, it says, when after Philip had baptized the Ethiopian, they came up out of the water, and Philip was suddenly snatched up, translated by the Spirit of the Lord, and instantly carried away to the city of Ashdod, Ashdod, it's near Jerusalem, where he reappeared preaching the gospel in that city. Come on, guys. You can't just put that away like, you know, they just didn't say suddenly. Maybe it was a mistranslation that he was suddenly and instantly. When you use suddenly and instantly, it's now. It's now. Ashdod means powerful. The power of God moved Philip from that lake or river or wherever he was baptized in the Ethiopian to Ashdod that quick. No time and space there, folks. It's not there. He was instantly. And the root of Ashdod means to violently destroy. You say, wow, that sounds pretty ominous. God wants to violently destroy all of our stinking thinking. He wants to get rid of it. He wants you to have the mind of Christ. When you have the mind of Christ, all things with God are possible. All things, not just 90%, but all. Don't pick and choose. Well, this is possible, but this isn't possible. No, all things are possible. what they do, or what do they take by force? All things that God has for them, the kingdom. A better way to describe the word violent, I've always had that thing, well, the violent takes it by force. Okay, you know, what really does that mean? I like this word better. Instead of the violent takes it by force, basically it means that the violent enthusiastically embraces it. Enthusiastically embraces it. I like that better. Are you enthusiastically seeking and knocking for more of God? And there's so many other examples. Enoch, Elijah, Mount of Transfiguration. There's supernatural things going all through the Bible. It didn't stop when Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried, and resurrected. It didn't stop when the last, you know, apostle or disciple died. It did not stop. He's not someone that's going to say, here's a gift, but I'm going to take it away at a certain time. It's still there, folks. We just have to have a desire to allow him to open us up to that realm. Okay, I'm going to skip a bunch of this and close. You know, do you mind doing a silly little exercise? Would you repeat after me? Let's just fill the air with faith. How's that? You want to do that? Would you do that, please? Say, I am not in bondage to any false idea of time. I, with God, inhabit eternity. And the divine order of God's universe is manifest in my mind and in all of my affairs. Do you believe it? I do. You know, this stuff may not happen overnight. Maybe it will. I don't know. That's between you and God. But, you know, if you get the vision, you know, the Bible says people without vision perish, right? So get the vision of God being a big God. Big God. He's not this limited God in this little box, nice little box with a bow on it. He's a big God, and he can do big things. And no matter what you're facing today, guess what? He's bigger. He's bigger. And I'm going to close with this. And all at the end, I just want you to know, I want you to tell me who this is about. Tell me who this is about. This is in Isaiah 11. A green shoot will sprout from Jesse's stump. From his roots, a budding branch. The life-giving Spirit of God will hover over him. The Spirit that brings wisdom and understanding. The Spirit that gives direction and builds strength. The Spirit that instills knowledge and fear of God. Fear of God will be his joy and delight. He won't judge by appearances. He won't decide on the basis of hearsay. He'll judge the needy by what is right, render decisions on earth's poor and justice. His words will bring everyone to awed attention. A mere breath from his lips will topple the wicked. Each morning he'll put on sturdy work clothes and boots and build righteousness and faithfulness in the land. On that day, Jesse's root will be raised high, posted as a rallying banner for the peoples. The nations will all come to him. His headquarters will be glorious. Who's he talking about?
Solomon.
Huh?
Solomon.
He's talking about Solomon. Yes. Amen. Us. He's talking about Jesus, yeah, because Jesus was of the lineage of Jesse, you know. But and so are you. You're of the lineage of Jesse. But I love when it's, you know, just to pull one thing or two things out, is that all this stuff that is ours, it's ours. We're a life-giving spirit. We're to give that life away. We're getting wisdom and understanding. Doesn't the Bible in the New Testament, this is Old Testament, doesn't it say in the New Testament, Lord, give us the spirit of revelation and wisdom? He's doing it. The Spirit gives direction and builds strength. Everything you need is right here, isn't it? He won't judge by appearances. We're not to judge by appearances. He won't decide based on hearsay. He'll judge the needy by what is right. What does the needy need? Needy doesn't just mean that they don't have any money or food. There's a lot of needy people out there, spiritually speaking. His words will bring His words will bring everyone to awed attention. Your words will bring everyone to awed attention. Think about it. Think about the times you've given a word and someone was changed. Okay, that's it. In conclusion, now is the time to rest in the Lord. Now is the time to practice His presence. Now is the time to take the limitations and restrictions off. Now is the time for change. Now is the time to be exactly what He has for you and become that. Are you with me on this? Are you with me on this? Come on, we can make the rest of whatever. I believe God can quicken our mortal bodies, and I believe that there's folks here, and hopefully all of us, will never taste of death. I mean, it's possible, it's in the Bible. But if we do, I believe some of us live to be 120. You want to live to be 120 and healthy? Huh? As long as you're healthy, right? Praise the Lord. Okay, God bless you. Let's see. Brian, you want to pray?
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word and that You speak to our hearts and to our minds each day, God, that we could just show others the joy that we have in You, Father, that everything we have is because of You and from You, and we're just so grateful. I just thank You for the authenticity of this body and the words that are spoken, and You just continue to speak through Your people here at Wings and around the country, God, that we just get on our knees and be drawn closer and back to You, Father, because forgive us that we've gone astray and things have gone away from Your will, Father, and we want to get back into that. We just thank You for Your Son, Jesus, and it's in His name we pray, and we careful to give You and Him the praise and the honor and the glory. Amen.